to another edition of the Media Monitor podcast, where we analyze news and events the mainstream media won't report or misreport. Today, we're going to talk about the state of public education in the U.S., and joining me is Jim Blocky to discuss his new book, Teachers, It Ain't Your Fault. Jim, welcome to Media Monitor.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Well, first, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and what prompted you to write this book?
Well, I've been a teacher in Las Vegas for about 20 years, and actually what really prompted me was a lot of things that had been happening, but I went to this teacher conference. There was 1,100 teachers that went to this conference, and Dr. Hartwig, who is one of the leading discipline gurus in the country, was speaking to us and told us that if a child hits us or spits at us or slaps us, it's our fault. And I just, like, got so angry at that point that I decided to write a book that's, you know, says that teaches us it really isn't our fault. It just was so angering to me that someone could say something like that. And, I mean, you have the kid have no accountability and have, you know, no reason to behave in school. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems we have in our schools right now is that they don't have any self-respect or respect for others or any discipline or self-control. And it just, it angered me to the point to where I just decided to write a book, and I did. And I'm really not much of a writer, but, you know, God can do many great things. You know, if he can make a rock give water, I guess he could make a guy like me write a book, so.
Well, let's talk about the discipline issue, because you do have a chapter on that in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the overall problem? I mean, we are definitely seeing an increase in violence. I mean, I'm almost 51. I remember going to school. I don't remember ever seeing what we see today in terms of metal detectors, you know, these issues of weapons, you know, in the schools, and that, you know, that's one side of it. And then there's just the general behavior of the students within the classroom. My own,
right?
My cousin's husband, I remember, you know, 30 years ago telling me when he was first teaching in Southern California that the students were so ill-behaved and ill-mannered, and that he had so little ability to do anything about it, it basically drove him out of the teaching profession.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, my belief is that we shouldn't be focusing on the drop-out rate. We should focus on the drop-in rate. I think that's one of the key issues, the main problems we have, is we focus so much on making sure that kids show up, that it's more important for us that they're there than for the kids themselves, and which gives them, you know, a free rein, because they can do whatever they want, because they don't really want to be there where they're being forced to be there, so they believe they can, you know, do pretty much whatever they want. I mean, they can say whatever they want, they can act out. They don't really care about education, and so what they do is they disrupt everybody else. And so, and it doesn't take a lot. I mean, if you have 35 kids in your class and there's three or four of them that are disruptive, teachers really can't kick them out because it's your fault if you do. And, you know, so what are you doing? You're dealing with this disruptive kids in the classroom instead of teaching. And you have a 50-minute class to where if you take 20 minutes out of your time to what the management calls managing your classroom, then you have 30 minutes to teach and 20 minutes to manage every day, and that takes 20 minutes a day away from teaching, which is, you know, basically one class period a week. So instead of teaching five class periods a week, in reality, you're only teaching four class periods because of all of classroom management. And it's very frustrating for a lot of teachers. And again, it's not in every classroom around the country. There are some good schools that have good principals and who stand by their teachers. And that's the key, is a principal and the administration that backs their teachers and not the students. And so, I mean, and the students need to see that. The students need to see that teachers are given respect by parents, by administration, by the leadership, and not constantly being berated and, you know, put down.
Well, that's a good point. I remember when I was a child, I think one of the things beyond my own desire just to learn, but to keep me in line, was the fact that there was kind of a threat of, you know, corporal punishment. And teachers
right.
really don't have much at their disposal in order to be able to maintain discipline and order in their classrooms. I mean, it seems that, you know, we've kind of become this whole politically correct society that, you know, we can't, you know, raise a hand or a finger or anything with a student. I mean, there's, you know, all hell will break loose, basically, if we do anything to try to really control that.
Yeah, and they take it a step further now that you not only can't raise a hand, you can't raise your voice, and everything has to be positive. All discipline and everything needs to be positive. That's all I talk about is positive discipline. And, you know, I mean, and I understand there's nothing wrong with positive discipline. There's nothing wrong with being positive about things and you know, and praising somebody for who does something good. But if you don't have that, the ability to do negative discipline, to take something away, to spank as, you know, corporal punishment used to be, even detention, you know, that kind of thing. If you don't have the negative discipline, then positive's never going to work. And nothing's ever going to work. I mean, because you have to have, there has to be some sort of fear in the kid's mind that there's going to be some consequences that are a deterrent to his bad behavior.
Now, you mentioned that the students that you find often don't want to be there and these discipline issues. Do you think this has a lot to do with their home life? This is how things are going at home, and so the parents are not as interested in doing anything, and there's no real discipline in the home, and that has now manifested itself in the classroom as well?
Yeah, that happens a lot of times. But, I mean, still, the fact is that, you know, we are in control of the school system. We can't control what goes on in their home life, you know. And yes, they're, obviously it is a parent's problem. Parents do have a lack of discipline in a lot of the cases. But when they go to school, like my kids, when they went to school, they saw, I mean, they told me stories that were like, you got to be kidding me. And my kids were raised very, not real strict, but I was a disciplinarian, and they did get spanked and when they were younger. And so at my house, they were taught one thing, but when they go to school, now they're taught a different thing. They're taught totally different because there are no consequences for bad actions in school. There is no discipline procedures. I mean, there is, but, I mean, it's so out there. It takes so much to almost for a kid to get some sort of discipline to get kicked out of school and what have you. And that's the problem. I mean, you know, the school district controls what happens at school. They can't control what happens at home. So what they need to do is they need to take control of the schools. You know, it needs to be they're the boss. The teachers are the boss. The administrators are the boss. And the kids need to be respectful. And even if they're not respectful at home, I can guarantee you that if there's enough consequences, if there's enough for their actions, that they will learn to be respectful in the school.
Okay. Well, let me ask you another question in general about the public education system. I mean, you know, discipline obviously is a key component of things that are going wrong there. But what about curriculum? You know, how is that going from your perspective as a teacher?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
The curriculum that is being taught today, I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you feel that that has that's playing a part in terms of the general overall decline of public education in the U.S.?
I mean, we teach over half the time we're teaching, we're not teaching the core subjects of reading, writing, arithmetic and stuff. And we're teaching environmentalism, we're teaching sex education, we're teaching suicide, we're teaching about drugs and drug prevention and even, you know, in one thing in the book I mentioned how they have police come in and teach kids how to get arrested. You know, I mean, that really is much more important than how to read. And so we're spending so much time on all this other stuff that we don't have time for the core subjects. And it also, it allows the more liberal teachers, which there are, I mean, it's about half and half. You have about half liberal and half conservative teachers in the country, but it allows the liberal teachers to really get their socialistic agenda, you know, through. Just like those kids, those two teachers that were protesting the kids going into the military. I forget where that was. I just heard about that on the news yesterday. They were liberal teachers, and they do their liberal political stuff in the classroom. Now, a conservative, if he were to do that, if he were to preach the word of God or something like that, he'd be fired immediately. But the liberal teachers are allowed to do this because we give them the opportunity by having so many other subjects other than the main core subjects of reading, writing, and arithmetic. You really can't, when you're teaching math, which is what I teach, I mean, it's really hard to sway a math problem into a political problem. And, I mean, you would be hard-fetched to do that. And so they need to get away from teaching all this extra stuff. That's for the home. And I'm sorry if there are some homes that are bad homes and bad parents out there. I mean, I really am. And but the school cannot be the parent. The school cannot teach them about sex ed, because, you know, especially like I taught my kids, they were supposed to be absent until they got married. You know, that's a Christian value, but that's what I taught my kids. Now they go to school and they're taught something totally different. They're taught to, you know, they're no better than any kind of animal. They're going to have sex because they can't control themselves. They have no self-control, so you're going to have sex. So use a condom. You know, practice safe sex. Then, you know, I mean, that's what they teach, and that's just none of their business. Environmentalism, global warming, which is, you know, pretty much bogus, you know. But, I mean, even if it isn't bogus, it's a very controversial issue. That's something that should be saved for college, you know, where kids can make the choice. You know, they shouldn't be told that, you know, this is a fact. And the same with evolution and so many different subjects that we teach in school. Let's just get back to teaching the kids how to read and write.
Okay, well, this is a good question, though. Where is this curriculum coming from? Is it being dictated by a board of education, by administrators, or do the teachers actually have some input in it, you know, so that they can go a little more farther afield and get into more of these environmental issues or other issues?
Well, it's the Department of Education and places in that has a lot to say in that. Curriculum is discussed every year. I think they have some sort of discussion about it, and there is a driving force, I believe, in that. And but most of the teachers who do get involved in that are fairly liberal. I mean, not many conservatives get in there, and I mean, and if they do, they're pretty much forced out and humiliated or whatever, discredited. And just like what's been happening to me since the book came out, or actually since I've really started speaking up about this thing, is they want to discredit the person. That's what, you know, that's what the liberal mentality is if you can't defeat the purpose, defeat the person, you know, discredit the person. So I mean, and which is kind of what I see and seen in our, what they do to our founding fathers also is kind of like a different, as an example, they don't really like the Constitution. I think there's a real socialism agenda going on out there, and so what they do is they discredit the founders a little bit. They talk about their fallacies, their problems, and things that they didn't do perfect, and make them to be the bad guy. So then they can say if the person who wrote the Constitution is bad, then the Constitution isn't all that great. And I see that movement in it. And in the book, I point out it's been going on since probably the late 1800s with John Dewey and G. Stanley Hall and these guys who were socialists and who said we do need to focus on social issues in school more than anything else.
Well, Jim, this has really been interesting. We're out of time for this segment and everything like that. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to put out there?
Well, I just want everybody to not just buy the book, I want them to read it. I think this is the most, I say it's the most controversial book of the millennium, and of course, the millennium's only been 10 years, but I mean, you know, it sounds good. But I really think people need to read this book. I have been terminated from my 20-year teaching position because of this book. And, well, that's one of the reasons. But the week the book came out, I was terminated. I just think it's a book that people need to read so they can understand what's going on out there, get a real good perspective of what's happening in our school system. And we need to fix it, because there's nothing more important than education. There's nothing. because that's being taught to all of our kids, or 80% of our kids, because not everyone can afford to homeschool, not everyone can afford private school. So it's essential that we fix education, take it back, and get it off of this social agenda, and get it back to academics.
Well, great. Now, tell us, where can anybody, people buy your book?
Well, you can get it on Amazon. Amazon has Teachers It Ain't Your Fault on there. You just go to Amazon.com and, you know, punch in Teachers It Ain't Your Fault. You can go to my website, which is www.jimblockey.com/teachersitaintyourfault, and it'll give you, there's a place you can click on right there. It'll take you right to a link to buy the book. And the book's $12, costs less than $2 for shipping, and it's 85 pages. It's an easy read, just like I intended. So it's an easy read. It's not expensive. Anybody can read it. And it's very truthful. And, you know, I mean, I back all my facts in there, and I just did a lot of research on it, and I just beg people to get out there and read it, and not for the sake of the book, but for the sake of the country.
Well, Jim, once again, thank you so much for joining me today. This is fascinating, and wish you well on your future endeavors and the sales of the book going forward.
No, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the time, too. I really do. I appreciate you reading the book and taking the time to try to help education.
Great. And then for our listeners, please join me again next week for another edition of Media Monitor.